week and that you are putting a lot of prayer and focus on what God's will is for you for witnessing for Him. That you're being active in telling your story of God's faithfulness in your life. This week, we continue in our series on witnessing. Today, we will focus on witnessing by word. First, let's look at 1 Peter 3, 14 and 15, and see what challenges and instructions are there about witnessing. It says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." The challenges we might see could be, honoring Christ as holy, always being prepared to share God's word for any who asks. Pray that people will see in us the hope of Jesus and share it with gentleness and respect. That second statement, always being prepared. I have a son who is in Coast Guard and he's been in for almost 25 years now. But their Coast Guard motto is Semper Paratus. And that means always ready. So here it's telling us specifically to always be prepared, always be ready to share God's word. In 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, Paul gave some important facts about witnessing. Let's look at these. Paul says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul says here that he doesn't come with lofty speech or wisdom. He focused on the message of the cross so that the Corinthians would put their faith in Christ who was crucified rather than in the abilities of human messengers. Paul is teaching us here that we don't have to have a degree in theology in order to share the love of Christ. We don't have to have eloquent words. We only need to share the truth. Mere intellectual persuasion does not save people. Saving faith is produced by the heart-changing power of the Holy Spirit as the gospel is proclaimed. In John 9:25, the blind man that Jesus healed had little or no theology training, but he was able to relate simply and effectively the facts of his experience. Let's read it. "He answered, 'Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.'" If you go back in chapter 9 and you read this story, the Pharisees were angry because Jesus had healed the blind man on the Sabbath, and they were trying to prove that Jesus was an imposter. The Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" They continued questioning the man who had been healed from his blindness, and he finally said, "All I can tell you for sure is that I was blind and now I see." Can you make that statement? Not physically, but spiritually. I was blind or lost in sin, but now I see. I'm free of sin. I'm saved from sin. If you can say that, my friends, then you have a story to tell. What has Jesus done for you that you can share with others? I hope you will take the time this week to search your heart and ask God to help you share with others what He has done for you. Next week, we will listen to Paul's story and learn pointers on how to share our story. Have a blessed week. May God bless you always and in all ways.